Thank you very much. My name is Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President, and I'm calling to order the Port of Tacoma City of Fife Joint Study Session to order. The date is October 5th at 4, it's a little after 4 p.m. And what I would like to do is, the first thing I'd like to start with is the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Before we go on to the approval of the agenda, I just want to say that someone made a comment earlier before we started this meeting about how often we meet with other entities. And I said, you know, to be honest about it, not very often. And this is something, Mayor, that, and Deputy Mayor, and five city council members, that we, as a Port Commission, really value the relationship we have. So we might be talking about road projects today, but it can be something different tomorrow. And we know that the relationship we have with the City of Fife, we value it. We don't take it for granted. And I'm just happy that we're all getting together. So Mayor, thank you on behalf of the Port of Tacoma Commission. We're very pleased that you would be a part of this. So, next item we have is approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you very much. We have the study session topics. We have three items. I'm going to lead the discussion on the Port of Tacoma roadway infrastructure priorities, then I'll turn it over to you, Mayor, to lead us through items B and C. The other thing before we go into the roadway infrastructure priorities by the Port of Tacoma staff, I also want to make certain we introduce our two very important people, the city manager for the City of Fife. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you very much.
And our executive director, Mr. Eric Johnson. And I'll wait for the presenters to introduce themselves later on. The other thing is, we know that our success is highly dependent upon issues and projects that we don't own, we don't control, but yet are very, very important to our overall success. And I'm talking about roads and bridges primarily. That's really the topic that we're talking about today. So on the presentation of the Port of Tacoma, we've tried to start the process of identifying priorities from a transportation standpoint. It's a process that hasn't been finalized. In fact, we had a study session where one of our commissioners, unfortunately, was actually looking out for our best interests in Spokane and didn't finish, we weren't able to finish with his participation. So what you have in front of you today, make certain you realize it's really a draft. We haven't voted on it, it's not a final version, but it's really actually, as far as I think where we're coming from is, it's a work in progress. So that to me is a very good time for your input and your ability to understand where we're trying to go. So with that, Eric, are you going to?
Happy to. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director of Port of Tacoma and graduate of Fife High School. I might have had to put that in. When I got hired by the Port 3 years ago, we needed to update our strategic plan. And so we spent about a year and a half or so working on a strategic plan, and that has a big transportation piece to it. And in a nutshell, what I told the commission was, I understand that 167 is our highest priority, and I understand that our second highest priority is Port of Tacoma Road I-5 interchange. Those are clear. What's after that? What are our next priorities? So we need to start thinking about that now. And so we started this process of doing this planning effort with our staff and consultants, and we worked closely with the City of Tacoma and with WashDOT. I believe we worked with you as well. And so this is, as Don said, still a work in progress, although we are a ways down the road, but this has not been voted on by the commission yet, by the Port Commission. And the way I bring up this slide to make kind of a big picture point, 167 sort of takes care of us from a north-south perspective. Port Tacoma Road, I-5 interchange takes care of us from a southern perspective. The other big piece, which is north, that you don't ever see talked about much is the deepening project for the Blair Waterway. The Port of Tacoma actually is the 50% funder of a very large and significant navigation project on the Blair. We're going to be deepening it from 51 feet to 58 feet in order to be able to take advantage of the large container ships. That's how deep you have to be anymore to be in the game. So we're putting a lot of time and money into that process, and we need to make sure that the road and infrastructure, the near port road system and rail system for that matter, can take advantage of that cargo. So really where we are now is we're looking at the Puyallup River primarily, and we're saying the next challenge is making sure that we have the most efficient way to get cargo east-west across the Puyallup River. And there are three bridges. One of them is defunct. Is the 11th Street Corridor is the old bridge that's functionally obsolete and has been cut. The Lincoln Avenue overpass you see there. Are you familiar with that at Lincoln Avenue? And then Fishing Wharves Bridge is number five. And then there is a project over on the right. You'll see number six. We'll talk about that later. That's actually a City of Fife project, a left turn lane on 54th. But this is really about crossing the river and getting our near-term near tide flats transportation system as efficient as we can. So you're going to hear today from Christina Wolf. I'm going to introduce her now. She's a senior planner with the port, and many of you probably already know her, and she's going to take us through the conclusions of the study that we've had.
Thank you, Eric. Again, I'm Christine Wolf, and I'm the transportation planner for the Port of Tacoma, and actually I also work for the Alliance so that there's some synergy between the port, the home port, and the facilities that the Alliance manages on behalf of the port. So quickly, agenda. I'll talk a little bit about the analysis tools and the approach that we've taken in order to develop the list that you see in front of you. We talk a bit about the projects, and then we go over the evaluation criteria and the methodology that we used to come to results. And as Eric and Commissioner Maya were mentioning, at this point, we have a bubble chart, or as my consultant likes to call, a measle chart, that ranks projects against a set of criteria that are in themselves not ranked. So there's lots of flexibility to work with those. And here we go. So in terms of the analysis approach, we wanted to take a look at what works now and what doesn't work now and what the future will bring. We did take a look at partner agency projects. And actually came up with a couple of our own that I will be talking about briefly. And what's also important here is that we were looking at a relatively intermediate time frame. So this is not a 2025 year plan or a program. This is looking at the next 10 years. What do we think that can actually realistically be implemented in that time frame? And we assumed that the Gateway project would be complete and that Port of Tacoma Road interchange would be done. Here's just briefly a set of charts that show where we have problems today, and we use 2018 because that's what most of the data that are available to us that are not COVID related were available. And green is good, and the darker yellow, orange, red, brown it gets, the worse. And so this is morning congestion, and as Eric noted, you can see the capacity for the Lincoln Street Bridge, because that is one of the bridges that we're looking at as part of this effort. And you can see that actually, despite the work that WashDOT is doing with 509 spur, we do have a problem on 509 today, and it's more most likely going to get worse. So that's other things that we may have to look between now and 2040. You can see that a lot of this is commute driven because it's not as busy in the afternoon as it is during the morning peak, which is where our trucks and other folks are more likely to be on the road at the same time. And you can again see that, you know, Lincoln looks fine during the midday, but in 2023, if we don't do anything, it will be over capacity even during the day. So Eric already showed you the map of the projects. And here is the list. One is to replace the East 11th Street Bridge that is decommissioned and hasn't been available since 2014. We also took a look at the Lincoln Street, Lincoln Avenue corridor itself. And we looked at the project that the city of Tacoma has on the books to improve Portland Avenue between Lincoln and the freeway. We also took a look at what we could do to have something that's less involved than having a bigger bridge at Lincoln, and make, if we, in quotation marks, just made improvements at the intersection at Lincoln and Portland Avenue. And then we put Fishing Rose Memorial Bridge on the list and a small add-on project that would improve truck mobility north westbound on Pack Highway. And then we also took a look at your own Taylor Way improvement project. So first project, again, East 11th Street Bridge. Obviously, it helps with access across the river where we have a very constrained system, takes pressure off other facilities. And the big ticket item for a lot of folks who work on the peninsula is the emergency access and egress benefits that it provides, and also emergency response. So this is, again, a similar approach to what we've taken, what I've showed you before. These are the heat maps that we did. And you can see in the morning that putting the putting a new bridge at East 11th Street does not resolve the problems that are in existence at Lincoln today, and in the future even more. So one of the reasons for that is, again, that there's a lot of commuter traffic that actually uses those facilities, although they may not necessarily actually have a trip end on the peninsula. You can see that it works in the afternoon when most other folks are not on the road. The second project that we looked at was to widen the Lincoln Avenue Bridge, although that's not easy to do. But that was actually something that we sort of looked at with the city of Tacoma when we did the initial 11th Street Bridge study. But there was no modeling analysis, no detailed analysis. So we decided to take a second look and did that. Has similar benefits. Obviously, it intended to reduce congestion along that corridor, and it would also improve emergency access and egress. So when we looked at that, is that what we could see is that in the morning peak, it does relieve that bottleneck. But at the same time, unfortunately, and this is kind of hard to see, but when you see here on this side, I don't know how I can, it doesn't show up on the screen. That's annoying.
That's not red or something, huh?
So you can see that the bridge is red and orange, right? And if you look at the baseline with the Lincoln Bridge widening, you can see that dark blob has moved a little bit further northeast. So that tells us that, you know, there might be a problem there. In the afternoon, though, you know, it would work great. The other project that we looked at is something that the city of Tacoma has currently under design, but construction is not funded as yet. And that's the Portland Avenue Freight Improvement and Access Improvement Project. And you can see it basically goes from the river, the intersection, all the way to the freeway. And there's a whole range of improvements there, pavement to heavy haul standards, signal and fiber improvements to actually connect all the signals in the corridor to each other and to the traffic operations center so that it can be managed more proactively. It also puts a new signal at what I call the suicide ramp at 509 in Portland Avenue. Sorry, that is a highly technical term.
You may not want to use that.
failed attempt at humor. Anyway, so it would put a new signal there and also make ped and bike improvements and any bridge repairs that are necessary. So obviously that would help a lot with traffic flow, improved safety, emergency response times, because there will be signal preemption for emergency vehicles. And if we fix some congestion, we already also reduce emissions and fuel consumption. So this is now a project that's sort of between the last two I talked about. We were looking at what we could potentially do to fix this intersection. You can see from the aerial that this right-turning truck has a very hard time moving, and it's sort of infringing on westbound traffic. And it's just a very constrained intersection with an island in the middle that makes it really hard to turn. And so we were looking at what we might be able to do if we improved that intersection in particular. And one of the concepts that we looked at, since you just got a new one at 70th, is what it would look like if we, for example, put a roundabout there that has slip lanes for all the right turning and through movements. Now, this looks really big. But it was just a concept drawing that we stuck in. We're actually doing more analysis as we speak with a more detailed operational model. But you can see, this is, I don't know how familiar you are with the concept of level of service. It's just like in school, A is the best and F is the worst. So you can see that a roundabout that would look maybe sort of like this would improve operations at that intersection. And we're also looking at a cheaper version of fixing that intersection as we speak. But this is definitely an option, and our partners from the city of Tacoma were intrigued. And we will have more conversations at the staff level about this down the line. The next project is the Fishing West Memorial Bridge. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on that. You guys all know the benefits of that bridge and why it's important to replace the remaining portions. The other thing that we did take a look at as part of our analysis is a relatively small ancillary project. When you come down Milwaukee southbound and you want to go west on Pack Highway, you can't do that if you're a truck because the turn radius doesn't work. And from our perspective, again, getting across the river, and especially getting across the river with larger trucks, is something that would be useful for us. It would also provide resiliency for the system for trucks if we could make that movement. So we did take a look at that, and found that that would be something that would be worthwhile exploring further with the city of Tacoma, and that's also on their list to talk about some more at the staff level. And the last but not least project is your very own relatively small project at Taylor, actually Taylor and 54th and 509, and that is to add a second left turn lane north to westbound at that intersection. It's a relatively cost-effective project. I don't know whether that cost estimate still stands, Greg. Yeah, but that's still under $1 million, so it's still a fairly reasonably sized project with significant benefits. It doesn't solve everything, but it definitely does make a difference. Again, I talked about at the outset that we developed a set of criteria to take a look at those projects and sort of help frame the conversation. And so the first column is the criterion itself, and then the second column tells you how we were measuring it and what the rating methodology was is described in the third column. And you can see that this first slide is sort of a fairly standard set of criteria that many jurisdictions and many granting agencies use when they evaluate projects. So we thought that would be important to make sure that that's the case. And we were using the sustainability criterion in part as a proxy to deal with equity issues, because air pollution is one of the bigger impacts that we have to worry about in and near the port. And then the other, The second set of criteria is more relevant to take a look at the fact that these are not our projects, these are our partner agencies' projects. And so we have to take into account not only what the implementation time frame is, but also what's the relative cost, what opportunity cost, and then obviously how important is that project that might be important to us in order to facilitate truck mobility in and around the tide flats. How important is that to our partner agencies? And acknowledging the fact that, you know, as a city government, you have a very broad portfolio of things that you're required to do and that you would like to do for the citizens of Fife, whereas we have a relatively more narrow focus on economic growth and development. And so then this is where we are right now with the evaluation of the projects that we have on the list. And again, this is at the staff level. We did this with the consultant team with a mix of quantitative and qualitative measurements. And we did not rank projects, we did not weigh any of the criteria, so this is still a very straight and very basic chart at this point. And unless there are any questions, this concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you, Christine and Eric, for your introduction to the topics. Are there any comments, questions by anyone?
I do have a question.
Yes.
I did just want to look at the last two slides again, as I wanted to understand, or maybe the last three. So just for example, does that third slide relate to state of good? Okay. So if you could go forward one slide. The implementation time frame, and then go one more. What does that mean, like on number six? That it could happen quickly?
Yes.
Okay. And then okay, that helps. So then,
mm-hmm.
Do you want us to fully understand this and discuss it?
Ask away, please.
Mayor, okay. Yes, we would like to. Please continue.
Well, like, I'm looking at the 54th 509, yes, and I just can't remember what the triangle with the exclamation point means. So,
Safety and resiliency.
So it's
it obviously has a safety benefit, because, you know, a lot of people think there are two lanes there already, although there really aren't. But at the same time, as the analysis showed with the level of service, it doesn't have a huge impact on the resiliency of the system as a whole. So it kind of gets a middling kind of rating. Anyways.
Okay, so even though there, so in that instance, there's anecdotal or real information that indicates it would improve safety, but what you're saying is you've lumped safety and resiliency together, so that one ranks low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Very good. Any other comments or questions?
Sure, I'm gonna test the system here, on the whole and the half. So
yeah,
looking at this and you're looking at the total, you're like, wow, wouldn't it just make sense if I just chose the circle that's fully colored? But then when we were talking about it ourselves, we were kind of leaning towards the half colored. Would there be, because we were weighing some things, lean towards something that's more half colored at the total versus a whole? Just based working on the colors here, right?
Well, you know, what we did, as I said, this is cooperation between the consultant team that I have to help me do this work, and I was taking a look. And I have to admit, I looked at some of these and like, I'm not so sure. And then I thought, okay, you know, especially if we talk about system as a whole, and if we talk about the time frame and so on and so forth, this is a combination of science and art, right? There is, you have two people and you might have two different answers. So this is our best effort from the technical staff perspective at doing these. I'm sure we could have a more robust debate about quite a few of these, and you know, if you're interested, we can most certainly provide more information on that.
Oh, I guess I'm just going to comment. I do like the ones where there's more partnerships and the cost of benefit is colored as, and one that also would help us with our congestion issues.
Right.
Mobility. So those are
right.
Kind of where I'm leaning at.
Commissioner McCarthy?
And I didn't miss your, or I missed your presentation because I was at a Freight Mobility mm-hmm. Strategic Investment Board meeting. But I did have an opportunity to talk to you this week, and I talked to Eric, and quite frankly, I think that's in the early stages that where this report needs to go is a short explanation as to how you came up with your opinion and conclusion based on data that's really lacking. We have the criteria, and we have judgment, conclusion, and decision, but how you got from one to the other, because I think, and I expressed to you, I think some of the assumptions that you started with are a little bit off base, and so that's something I think that we need some more work talking about. I know the cost numbers were incorrect, and so I just want to say appreciate the initial effort, but I do think that there's going to be quite a bit of adjustment once we understand how you got to that point and some of the assumptions that you used.
If I may ask, Commissioner, are you talking about all six projects, or did you have a specific one in mind? Because,
well, I mean, first of all, as we were just talking about, I don't know how you got a full circle or a half circle, but if I had a two-sentence description as we got to it because of resiliency or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm better able to say whether or not I think independently the mm-hmm. judgment was based on a proper assumption or not.
All right, we will do that.
guess I do have one more question.
Yes, Commissioner Hang.
In your opinion, maybe you can't give an opinion, but how would any of these projects, I guess, affect the city of Putnam?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the benefits or something that would help them relieve some of the congestion or whatnot?
Well, obviously, your very own project makes a difference, right? And then I also think that making the Fishing Woods Memorial Bridge fully functional would have a big benefit for the city of Fife. A car, it has a 20-ton restriction right now on it, and so that means fully loaded trucks can't use it, large emergency vehicles can't use it, and bigger, and in particular, electric or dual-power buses can't use it because they're too heavy. So there are, while individual folks driving in their cars can't use it, there are other modes and other factors that make that bridge important to everybody. And the other thing is, you know, it is deficient right now. So if it were to fail and we would have to restrict use even more, that would have a humongous impact on everybody.
Well, basically, that bridge is half done, right? Because it was rebuilt. I don't know if it's half or 40% or 30% done.
Somewhere between 30 and 40%, I
okay.
think.
Okay, yes. So it's headed in the right direction. The question is, what priority does it play and the need for it?
So, Pat, I have a question just specifically about that bridge. Can I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay, Chair, is it okay?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if anyone in this room has the answer. I know that Tacoma, I don't think it's funded right now to finish it. I don't know what the timeline is. Who has jurisdiction on that bridge in relation to when it is upgraded or repaired? Who decides what modes of transportation are even allowed on it? Even if they take it to what the fixed part is.
I think I know the answer, but I want to turn to somebody that should know. Eric?
Christine can correct me. It's the city of Tacoma's bridge, which is a little odd because it's a state highway. And I was surprised to discover that it had one time been a WashDOT bridge, and then the city ended up with it. And I'm not quite sure how, but it doesn't matter at this point. So it's the project would be a city of Tacoma project, and it would be their decision making as far as, you know, where to push it on the priority, and it'd be their project, right?
Yeah, yes, it would be their project. And I should say, you know, it's a very expensive project. The current price tag is sort of the most likely is around $280 million. It went up dramatically in the last year or so with COVID related, you know, even the war in Ukraine and all kinds of things, stricter provisions for Made in America for federal grants. And the bridge, the city of Tacoma, I think the staff there would agree with me that they absolutely need grant funding and federal grant funding to rebuild the remainder of the bridge. And typically when you take federal money, there are strings attached to that. So I don't think, and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that the city would not be able to restrict use on the bridge to any particular mode. So if they couldn't.
Maybe depending on the type of grants they accepted.
Yeah, I know the Tacoma is interested in putting in even a cycle track across the bridge, mm-hmm. As part of the Tacoma to Puyallup Trail. That's something that's being studied currently. So more than likely, you know, all modes of traffic would be allowed on the new bridge.
Okay.
That would be my expectation. And not to correct Mr. Johnson, I think it used to be a state highway, but 99 actually ends now at 54th. And I'm guessing it probably was a state highway in the past. So it is definitely Tacoma's bridge.
And the other thing is that we just heard that the city is starting the process to start working on the bridge so that they can be prepared to make grant applications. Matthew?
Yes.
I think there is some work that started with the city council to provide some seed money to start the analytical work in order to get ready for a more fully designed project and all the necessary data and information that would be required for competitive grant applications.
That's correct.
Very good.
Okay, and then I would imagine there's a Puyallup tribe component to all of that.
We would hope.
I was just going to say that when you look at 54th and 509, there's a double benefit to it as far as the traffic that comes in. We get traffic that comes in that goes into Northeast Tacoma. We also get the traffic that comes into Tote back and forth. Plus, we get the traffic that comes off of 509 to use 54th rather than go down to the Port of Tacoma. So there's a lot of benefits to that, too, that I think at the same time, if we're working on that stuff, then it would make more sense to partner up on that stuff and get it all done at one time than rather than going back and having to do something else. So that's my take on the 54th and 509.
Just by a point of clarification on project number six that you're talking about, is that funded? I mean, somebody had an estimate.
No, it's not funded. And I guess one thing I'll point out too is the most of the intersections actually in the city of Tacoma. Mm-hmm. It's just that the traffic is coming out of Fife and our city limit line kind of runs along part of where the project would be. So it would definitely be a joint project
between
Tacoma
Fife
and Fife and probably WashDOT since 509 is state highway.
Who funded the study on that one?
Well, yeah, so the study was funded by the city, the port, and the city of Tacoma.
Okay.
And we're wrapping that up now.
So I think the line is somewhere here, right?
No, it's actually down further south. Yes, in that area. Huh. Yeah, I don't think the line shows up on this map, but.
And that cost estimate, is that a current cost estimate or something?
Yeah, so this is probably an older slide because it's gone up a little bit. Yeah. I think it's at like 825, so it's 75,000 higher than what.
But it's still less than a million.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
And that was, you know, since Taylor Way was done too, and it's better than what it was,
then
it makes a lot of sense to improve that intersection at the same time.
Yeah.
So. That's my take on it, you know, and I understand that 11th Street Bridge that was closed for so long. I always thought that it was just because every time I try to go down to the headquarters, there might be something that could stop me.
Well, that's true, Pat. very good. Any other questions, comments? So that takes us then next to the city of Fife. And Mayor, I'll let you take lead on this one.
Thank you, Don. And thank you everyone for hosting us this evening. And it's great to see all of you in person. And thank you to all of the staff that are here supporting us in keeping track of what we're talking about. And I will say that had I, as Dee Dee mentioned, had a little key here on my table, I think I would have really understood that chart more. I do have an appreciation for how that was put together. And I mean, I think it was a good question around how did you decide, you know, if it was a circle or not a circle. But both the deputy mayor and I did appreciate the graphics. I mean, you know, as soon as you explained it to me, it did become pretty clear what we were looking at.
I just added the bubbles.
Yep. So, yes, we are moving on our discussion to Port of Tacoma Road Phase 2. This has been a big push project for the city of Fife for a long time, and I will expect staff to fill us in. But as a reminder, it is a project that the city was seeing as a high priority for us, and we did see it as a Washington State Department of Transportation project, but they were not taking it on in the timeliness that we had hoped. So Fife and Deputy City Manager Russ Blunt, in his position as Public Works Director, has done the bulk of the work lining up funding, managing the projects. It's really unusual for a city of our size and population and square mileage to be taking on a project like this. And I am hopeful that Greg has welcomed it as a challenge in his career. So I'm going to turn it over to him and to Derek at this point to fill us in on where we are and how close we are to the finish line.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. My name's Greg Vigor, and I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Fife. I've been with Fife about 20 months, so just kind of getting my feet wet. This is a very big project, for, as the mayor mentioned, for a small city. It has been very interesting and been learning a lot with it, so I'll take you through what I know. And again, just showing a vicinity map of the project. It's a little hard to see just on the screen so far away, but the red is what's showing what the full interchange will be. It'll be a one-way couplet, as you're aware, 34th Avenue northbound, and Port-a-Tacoma Road will be one-way southbound. And just showing the importance of the port being a manufacturing industrial center as a designated by Puget Sound Regional Council, as well as a number of the regional growth centers, you know, that feed business to the port, et cetera, as well as the red circle being the location of the project. And again, this is the site prior to construction, the interchange as it was. And this is what it looks like today. The blue is what the city constructed, again, a northbound 34th Avenue one-way, a new off-ramp from the interstate, and a new 12th Street westbound to Port-a-Tacoma Road. What's shown in yellow is what WashDOT did. It was, I think, originally going to be part of this project, but I think with some great issues, they ended up doing it as part of their HLV project to build the new on-ramp for southbound I-5. We also had some fill that was used from the project that was built on the other side, which will be where the future northbound off-ramp and on-ramp will be. And again, the project was completed in 2020. I already noted some of the improvements. That cost was about $44 million. It included about $11.5 million of city funds, also $1.5 million from the port, and I think $300,000 or so from Loves, and I think some the Department of Ecology as well. So this shows an aerial of the completed project. Again, a little hard to see on the small screen, but just to the right of the picture, you can see kind of the bright concrete that shows the abutment of where the new bridge for 34th Avenue will cross over the freeway for the next phase. So that was constructed as part of the first phase, and then the bridge will be constructed as part of the second phase. And the red here, as well as the white shown on Port-a-Tacoma and Pack Highway, represent what would be constructed for phase two, or also what we call 2A. And that would include, again, a bridge over I-5 at 34th Avenue that would connect to 20th Street, demolition of the I-5 motors on 20th Street, new on and off ramps for northbound I-5, some turn pocket on Pacific Highway to go, I guess, eastbound to southbound on Port-a-Tacoma Road. Port-a-Tacoma Road would be restriped for one-way southbound, and I think we'd have some changes to your driveway out here to make it, I think, right in, right out, so nobody can go left, since it'll be, they'd be going the wrong direction. We're hoping that this will be shovel ready by summer next year, and we're going to be submitting the 60% plans to WashDOT here in the coming weeks, with 90% expected around the first of the year. We have a couple of small right-of-way acquisitions to make in that time as well. Have the funding lined up for the most part. Our estimate currently is about $51 to $52 million for this phase of the project. The city's expecting to contribute at least $3 million, and we're asking for a $2 million commitment from the port. And I mentioned pay later, kind of like Montgomery Ward in the olden days where you'd lay away something at Christmas. where we're, we wouldn't really need the money until later, probably late '24 or '25. The money we have in our grants don't require, there's one that requires a small match, but most of it is direct appropriations from the state, FIMCIB and TIB. Got a big one from Move Ahead Washington, so there's no match requirements. So the money we'd need from both the city as well as the port would be later on in the project to get us to the end of the project. So that's why I say pay later. It'd be at the end of the project. But we need the commitment now because WashDOT otherwise won't approve the project unless we have, you know, 100% financial commitment to complete the phase.
So just to be clear, you mentioned 51 to 52 million. Is that the all-in cost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's design as well as construction and...
Yeah, that's the all-in project amount, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the end of the project date about?
Yeah, so it'd be about a two-year project. So we're looking at, you know, middle of 2025.
And could I ask?
Sure.
That very, as you look, coming off of I-5 going south, that very narrow blue line, is that a free, go all the way, and the only stop sign you would have or stoplight would be on Pac Ave?
So you're talking about the little blue line going diagonally?
That little, very skinny blue line. What does that represent?
That represents the old off-ramp, so that's actually been removed now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so it just showed what was done as work under Phase 1. So yeah, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So now you can either turn left onto turn right onto 34th, or you can go and turn right onto Pacific Highway.
Okay.
Although that, you won't be able to turn right, you know, when it's fully built out, you'd only be able to go left, because it'd be one-way southbound. Yeah, so that's actually been removed. Any other questions on this before I move to the next slide?
Thank you.
Sure. And so this shows the, what we're calling Phase 2B, and we're expecting it to be shovel-ready in probably the third or maybe fourth quarter of 2025. And it's shown in green on the map here, so it's improvements to 20th Street. Really, the couplet work would be done under Phase 2 or 2A. This would improve 20th Street, which would certainly enhance the whole interchange, but particularly on 20th Street. This would improve 20th from 20th Street Drive to the west near Praxair to Industry Drive to the east. We'd put in signals at Port of Tacoma Road, 34th Avenue, and Industry Drive. There'd be widening sidewalks, etc. We're estimating project cost at this point is about $23 million. And we have a request into Senator Murray's office for a $4 million appropriation that we're waiting to hear. I think we heard most recently that it's a bit up in the air, just kind of waiting on the elections to see the results of those, so which wasn't very encouraging, but we'll wait and see what happens in that regard. And yeah, so I think that's it on that. Any questions on?
But the red could proceed.
Yes.
Regardless
yep.
of what happened
yep.
on the green.
So I mean, this could wait, you know, really longer. We'd obviously like to get it built.
Yeah, I understand.
As
but I'm just saying,
yeah,
I'm trying to understand sequencing.
Yes.
Here.
So the red is definitely standalone. That was also, I guess, I should have pointed out, for what we're calling Phase 2 or 2A, it was really important to the legislature that provided the Move Ahead Washington money that we advance this project as quick as we can. So it made sense to split Phase 2 into two phases in order to move this part along. We have more property to acquire on the next phase, and that's going to take a while to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we've got literally just a couple little minor, I think one of them is actually your property out here. A little chunk of something that our city attorney.
You're talking to the right people.
I think our city attorney's already talking to the right people as well.
$2 million.
Yeah. That's why we always bring them with us.
You're always prepared, Pat.
So we just have a couple little parcels where on 20th we have a significant amount of work to do that's related to the property that we acquired from what was the old Peterbilt property. I think that's the main on Prologis or some other property to acquire. So that'll take time. It'll take longer to get to that phase.
Mm-hmm.
So split the project, get this phase moving as quick as we can. So, which
Good.
We're working diligently to do. So again, this would be phase 2B, shovel-ready. I think the construction would be about a year or so, once we get started. So should be done in, if we start in 25, it should be done in 26 sometime. And again, just to show a couple things, visual aids in terms of like, if we don't do this interchange project, the bright lines along Pack Highway as well as Port of Tacoma Road and 20th show the delays, the queuing, so how far traffic would back up without the project. And I think it even says a note in the corner, like it's so far that the simulator can't simulate it. So it's bad, that's the main thing. It'd be, you know, level of service F, which again, from a level of service, F is bad. So this shows with the diamond couplet completed, you can see the lines are much shorter or non-existent on 20th. Still a little bit of backing up on Port of Tacoma Road and Pack Highway, but much more limited, and it's well within the level of service that we consider acceptable. And again, the overall project, you know, for all three phases, things that it does to help support the port, it enhances the first last mile connection to your facility. The enhancements will improve the movement of freight and goods and people. Obviously, businesses and industry will be less hindered by the gridlock, and residents will be able to have better access to jobs and services, et cetera. And just to kind of summarize all three phases, again, phase one is completed. Phase two, we're hoping to do next year. Phase 2B in 2025. Overall project cost is in the neighborhood of $119 million. We've gotten just over $81 million in state funding so far through the sources listed, TIB and FIMSIB, Connecting Washington, Move Ahead Washington. Got $35 million, I noted, from Move Ahead Washington in that package. Have about $12.4 million in federal funding. The city's gonna contribute upwards of $17 million of our own funds, a good chunk of that already in phase one. Again, we have that $4 million request, Senator Murray's office. There was about $1.8 million contributed on phase one from the port, Ecology and Loves. And so then we're requesting a $2 million commitment from the port for the second phase to complete the couplet work.
Okay, very good. When do you need to hear from us relative to what we can do?
Yeah, well, it'll I would say soon, because it'll need to be before we start construction, because they're not going to give us the money to start unless.
But your construction is in next
like
year.
June, or well, we're hoping to advertise by June and start construction probably August is our current timeline. Yeah, to obligate the money, if I'm not sure. You guys don't work with local programs at WashDOT, but that's who we have to work through.
And that's who you got.
Paperwork is quite cumbersome, and it usually takes several iterations, it seems, to get it right. So it usually takes a few months to, you know, get the paperwork squared away and get their approval. So
I'd say, you know, the good news here is we're going through the budgeting process. I suspect you all are going through as well. And so the timing is good. The bad news is, I don't know where we're going to get the money, Eric, but I guess that's just something we'll have to reconcile through the budget process. This is a high priority project for all of us. And, you know, the mayor made a comment about this, you know, the ironical part about this whole project from the very beginning is a little city of Fife working on the interstate system. It's just like, what's Fife doing out in the interstate system? And I always kept thinking, I'm going to see Russ some night standing out there at an off ramp. But anyway, I just want you to know that that's part of an appreciation that we have for the city of Fife. Your leadership has been crucial on this, and I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to back away from that leadership. And we all have talked about that and appreciate that, Mayor. And members of the city council, so I just want you to know that. The mayor is running the meeting.
Go ahead.
Back when this project was being considered in the Connecting Washington legislation, what was the estimated cost at that time? Is this shortfall as a result of inflation and increased costs, or was it all in at that time and it just got dissipated?
admittedly, I don't remember what the ask was for with connecting Washington. There's definitely been, inflation has been a challenge. We have built in inflationary costs into the current budget. We hope that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
You know, we really won't know for certain until we get bids and, you know, however the economy is going to change between now and, you know, next year. There's debates about what that will look like. So I think we had pretty much all in at the time when we made the request to move ahead Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you, I don't remember the details. I'm not sure if Russ remembers. He might.
I think
about 60.
He knows.
We had it all in at somewhat of an optimistic level, but also, frankly, did not have a split out. You do it as two phases, it adds money, and frankly, the right-of-way issues along 20th Street got fairly political and increased costs. I mean, right-of-way is probably one of the biggest inflationary aspect of projects, and we had one of the property owners particularly pass political within the legislature, and to some degree, we there was a right-of-way deal being almost at a legislative level. You know, the WSDOT is not using standard practice that has added a lot of cost, but it didn't, the legislature didn't add any money to our budget to cover those costs.
Okay. Those problems close to resolution or?
Yes, our attorney's been more directly involved, but I think we're just, you know, the current estimate includes everything that I know,
and I think at least I've not been here that long, but I know we'd always anticipated making a request, you know, to the port.
What's the FIMSIP commitment again for this phase?
I'm trying to remember for the whole project. Well, let's see here. I have the budget.
Councilmember Halsey, do you have any recollection of the FIMSIP contributions?
Say what?
Do you have any recollection of FIMSIP contribution amounts?
Yeah, for this phase, it's $3 million.
Okay.
For phase 2A, I think it was like 8.6 in phase 1.
Yeah.
And then there's another $4.5 million in phase 2B, and that's mainly right away,
okay,
which they allowed us to use. Are you on the?
I am, right,
okay.
Right.
So yes, so you allowed us to use what would typically be construction money for design and right-of-way acquisition.
Right.
And then they said, you gotta get it spent by June of next year. That's the other reason we're trying to get this.
Pretty creative, we thought.
Yeah, so much appreciated. So so that's what we have so far. So yeah, I think total is about 17, yeah. Bring my glasses on here to see the total, but. 16.2 million overall for the whole project from FIMSIP. So very significant.
Any other questions that we can answer?
And that was my last slide, so
all right.
To the question part.
Oh, look, it even says questions.
Yes.
So yeah, it has been a long time coming, and thank you for the words of gratitude, and I can only say I'm thankful to my predecessors. I mean, I've been on and off council for 20 years, but transportation was not a focus for me, so to know how long it's taken for us to get here, I mean, I really have to myself thank my political predecessors and definitely staff who've been working on this for so long, and Councilmember Halsey and Commissioner McCarthy and folks on FIMSIB. So it's just taken a lot of repetitive asks and work. We hope it improves things for our residents.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic has always been a number one, but definitely for the Port of Tacoma and the economy of Washington State.
I was going to point out that you might thank us or think we're crazy, but we're also now, you know, gearing up to work on 54th Avenue interchange. So why not do two when you know, one when you can do two?
Right.
Yeah.
We have design money that we got for the first phase, and we've got that phased into like five phases.
Oh, wow.
Different, you know, the off ramps for southbound being first, and then other improvements, so up to five phases on that. But we did actually get design money.
Fife wants to be taking care of 100% of our I-5 interchanges.
Very good.
We should get a plaque. So yeah, definitely, if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to reach out to Greg.
Yeah, good.
And the longer this thing takes, the more I'm going to be around.
You're more likely to see Councilmember Holsey out on the interchange.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Don.
Okay. Roundtable discussion. Do we have any other items that we would like to mention at this time?
Yeah. This one's a little different than what we've been talking about. I was down in the Benthien Loop area yesterday.
I'm sorry, Pat, what area?
Benthien Loop.
We call Benthien Loop right there off 54th, right before it curves west.
Where Outpost is.
Behind the Outpost, yeah.
I know where it is now. I'm sorry.
And there's a pretty big camp down there that's on you guys' property as far as homeless goes. And we'd like to get it out of there because we've already taken care of the Halibus area. And we'd be willing to partner up with you guys to get that taken care of. And that would be the last camp that we got down in that area.
Yeah, Eric, I think, you know, that's something we need to work on. That's a, you know, that's a problem for all of us.
Yeah, we are keenly aware of that encampment. It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. And the property boundaries in that area are kind of strange. If you were to look at a map, some of it's WashDOTs, some of it's the ports, some of it's the city of Fife's.
Right.
Probably some city of Tacoma for that matter. So there's kind of a funny, it needs to be a partnership effort. We have had some success with some of the encampments that have been on port property. We've cleared two, I believe. So if we need to continue to work on that one, happy to lean into it.
Yeah, because it's also affecting a lot of the businesses that are in there, and a lot of the businesses are tied into the port too, and they've been having a lot of trouble down there, and it's just cutting through fences and trying to break in buildings and things like that. So it would help.
That's an issue that's not an easy solution, but we do have to address it.
Eric, do you have any other encampments still existing on port property?
The answer is almost certainly yes, but we have 2,500 acres, and so it's hard for me to give an absolute answer. Large ones, no.
Okay.
Large ones, but, no. Small ones.
And I guess that number is, I didn't remember or know the 2,500. And when we're saying port property, it's owned by the port,
correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. We own just over half the tide flats.
Okay.
About 51%.
Right, all right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, this homeless situation is getting to the point where it's going to have to be one of our little bullet items, and you may have to add that to the list and have our bubbles, you know, half full or whatever, however you guys do it. But seriously, you know, it's getting to the point where we're gonna have to start partnering more, and not that we're not, but I'm just saying, you know, just like you were saying about the homeless everywhere, it's a huge situation. Yes. And so we're gonna have to start making that like one of our bullet points, just talk about how we're doing and what we're doing and when are we going to partner together and throw some money towards that. I don't know. It's just, yeah. I don't know what, you know, how you guys are handling it, but I know the city of Fife is just pretty much being taken over, and thanks to Chief and everybody else, we're
right
keeping our head above water.
I'm sure the Chief is, I mean, we know the Chief is in communication with Tacoma, mm-hmm. and WashDOT and the tribe. And does the port have law enforcement?
We have a security force.
I'm know that the coordination is already there at the I don't know, staff, departmental level, even if it's not something that we're politically yet talking about.
But without question, it has to be a partnership, because
Oh, yeah.
if you were, what, a year ago, if you were on Lincoln Avenue heading towards the port admin building, compared to what happened working with the city and the port, cleaning that up, because that was a real embarrassment for us. I mean, if we had an international delegation coming into the port of Tacoma, that street alone would be so offensive in terms of wondering what Tacoma's all about. And but we partnered, thanks to this our staff and Eric's leadership and the city of Tacoma. So I think you're right, Deputy Mayor. We're going to have to think about that as an issue. In fact, Commissioner Keller has been working on some of that through JMAC.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see each other more than once a year then. the homeless commission or something.
Yeah. Well, I think to address that in our next meeting, and Sean Egan helped me draft a resolution to present to the commission for consideration, because we get a lot of conversations and requests to house especially low barrier folks right. on port properties, industrial properties, yep. which is not good for them. But there are things that the Port of Tacoma can do to partner with other cities and agencies so that, you know, and let's put our heads together and let's figure out how we can help with that. We don't want to, you know, be someone, an agency that says that's not our issue. It is our, it's everybody's issue. Yeah. So we need to, you know, throw some thought and some monies at that too. So then that's again for commission consideration.
And I still get the email agendas for JMAC. I don't always open them. So when if you know of something that you want to loop me in on specifically in relation to this, okay. then let me know. Because okay. again, I don't always open them. But you know, it didn't make sense for Fife to try and regularly be at that table considering the origin of that group.
Sure. Glad to do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I guess Tacoma Rescue Mission, our community, and would like the community first village. And some people have even talked about safe parking. And sometimes we're all like, not in our space, but if we move them from the port, they go to the tribe's place or the Fife's place. And then if the tribe moves them, they understand it goes to our place. And in some cases, if we keep on sweeping, we're just putting it someplace else, mm-hmm. and then it'll come back. Mm-hmm. So I do agree that we do need to start getting together some policy, some village, some safe parking somewhere that is regulated, that can provide services, that there is some order. Mm-hmm. And so in some cases, it is all of our issue, as Deputy Mayor and all of you have said, and Commissioner Keller. So looking forward to some of the solutions that we can advocate together. Because not in my backyard is not really working right now.
Right.
Very yes. good.
Derek?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. If I may, I wanted to share a couple of ways that Fife is contributing to the regional solution to homelessness. One is our jobs program. Yeah. And we have actually gone into encampments in the city of Fife, found people who are interested in housing and job skills, and we are housing them, paying them, and training them to do work in our parks. And that's been a mostly successful program. There have been some who have struggled with it, but there are others who have thrived with it. So we're very excited about that and see it as a regional model. The other, you might have read in the News Tribune several months ago that the county and city were considering a partnership to convert a hotel into housing. The county has decided not to move forward with that project in Fife, but the city council decided to take our ARPA dollars that we were going to invest in that hotel conversion and look at contributing that to somewhere in Pierce County, some kind of regional solution, which could be another hotel conversion, or it could be the Community First Village or the like. So those are just a couple of examples of things that we're doing to address the long-term issue, while at the same time we're responding to community concerns about encampments.
Derek, you know, that's really good news, because the problem I see is we have political boundaries, right? So as Commissioner Hang indicated, so you kick them out here and they go over there. Well, that's your problem now. The fact of the matter is you thought, you're thinking about the solution beyond just your political boundaries. I think that's real leadership, my friends. And I think that's the way we have to think about it, because we can't think about just our political boundaries. So, well, that's good news.
Yeah, and the other thing, Don, is that we're working with 10 people. We're not going, okay, we need to get 50 people in this program or whatever else. You gotta keep it small, you gotta keep it manageable, and then you can fix what you need to fix as you go along. Yeah. This works, that doesn't work, whatever, you know. And that's why this program works really good. I mean, at the beginning, we had 6 people, 4 people didn't work out. We bring more people in, and like our city manager was saying, everybody's on a different pace as far as what they learn and how they get through the program. So you're not gonna have them all out at the same time, but every time you get one out, you bring another one in. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy to have you guys come over and take a look at what we did, because I think it's really a good idea, and it's stellar that the staff did. It's a really good example of what a small city can do, or a bigger city and they want to start small and go big. It's an excellent example of what you can do when you think about it. So
very good. This is good news. Thank you for sharing that.
Hey, Don, just a
yes,
quick question.
Commissioner Marzano.
You mentioned that Pierce County dropped out with regards to the partnership that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. Are you still having conversations with Pierce County and the county? Okay, because I think it's critically that they get involved with anything we do. You know, just us partnering up is not going to help unless we can get Pierce County Council, them being involved too in that partnership.
Yeah, we're working very closely with Pierce County. I think another thing worth mentioning is even as the city and county were talking about a hotel conversion funded with government funds, there are hotel conversions in Fife happening organically. There are at least 2 organizations that have purchased existing hotels and are converting them into, you know, think studio apartment spaces, which is both improving the neighborhood and also providing affordable housing opportunities for people right on our doorsteps.
Very good. Any other topics for a roundtable discussion? Yes, Commissioner Keller.
I think several of us, in fact, raise your hand, please. I think I saw several of you this morning in the RAMP meeting. I know I was, and wanted to ask you about the Canyon Road extension. I know that last night, Pierce County Council members voted down to be able to apply for a grant for that, to fund that project, and which was very confusing for a lot of us because it affects you and us greatly. And I thought it was, I'll just be straight about it, and very short-sighted. So. Someone in the meeting said, I wonder, you know, has the City Council of Fife, you know, weighed in on this? And so I just wanted to get your impression. It looks like for some of you, you hadn't heard about it, but.
Derek, I know that we as a council haven't discussed these emerging changes, but I know that Derek's been tracking it.
Yeah, we've been actively engaged in the project because it has such a significant impact on Fife. And, you know, there are 2 ways to look at it. It's helpful in that it replaces a bridge, it builds a regional transportation corridor. You know, it also would bring with it traffic that currently isn't able to make it over that bridge. So there are pros and cons. We just haven't engaged in advocacy on this because our biggest priority is Port of Tacoma Road. As Greg mentioned, we're still relying on funding coming through, like Senator Murray's earmark. And so that side of the city is really where we're hyper-focused right now.
This seems to be happening pretty quickly, too, in terms of the way that they're approaching it. So, but to, you know, to turn down a grant opportunity, it's just, I was, really?
Well, but I think
it's never free.
Never free.
but I do think it's probably a topic we need to have on our agenda as we go forward here because of the role it plays. It has an impact on your community. I totally agree with you in terms of your observation, Derek, the pluses and minuses. But it's such a major connector for us in terms of, and I happen to live out in that neighborhood, so I want you to know, all full disclosure here, but it's a real key connector. And I think we all know that. The question is how can we work through the various pros and cons of that project to where we're not dumping everything into Fife, but yet the reality is there's going to be an impact in Fife. I mean, let's not back away from that. The question is, what do you mitigate?
I should mention, Mr. Chair and Mayor, that the Port of Tacoma's, this is a fairly short presentation that we gave today on transportation, obviously. Our more robust materials mention some of the key regional projects that we also need for our region to thrive. Canyon Road is one of them. Another one is the bridge at Nisqually, on the I-5 bridge in Nisqually. Mm-hmm. That's a really important, that's a critical bottleneck potentially and a tremendous earthquake vulnerability. And then what's generally called the triangle up at Highway 18 and 990. There's another project up there that's really, it's not our project, it's far from us, but it affects freight mobility through the whole region. So we have our eye on some of these regional strategic projects, but we didn't bring it forward today.
I have one random question. I could almost ask it after the fact, but it's something that popped into my head in the last couple of years about car dealerships, especially as, and I don't know if any of you or any of the professionals in the room know. Well, have you heard from any car importers, manufacturers, that there is a planned change in how cars are sold? As in, like, I think of it from a business standpoint in Fife and how important our I-5 frontage is for our car dealerships. But you've now got these emerging models where people are buying cars online. There's mm-hmm. not showrooms. Are you learning of any, I mean, are they talking about any changes in how they're gonna bring cars in, where they're gonna live before they end up being purchased?
I am not the expert on that. All I can say is from what I've read, you know, I think it was Tesla that's been right. in the forefront of changing how and what the way you can purchase it reverses, you know.
We do have a Tesla in Fife, right? Yes, yeah. But.
A recent addition.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They still want to
right.
Yep.
But as far as like our land use in Fife, I just think about in advance, you know, if they're not going to need acres, if they only need 10 cars for test driving, and the other 100,000 are going to live at the port until they get driven to somebody's house.
Yeah.
We want them out of the port too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you hear, when you hear how they're going to do that, we need to figure that out.
The good news is that we just started importing Hyundais to the Port of Tacoma just this last week. We had the maiden voyage of a vessel that brought in 2,000 Hyundais. So their method of bringing them in is expanding. We work with a company called Globus. And we're becoming more and more of a hub. We got that business that was going to Portland.
Okay.
So it's a good diversified cargo. Puts a lot of people to work here because they also prepare those vehicles for sale. So we're going to see more and more vehicles coming in, which is good.
I didn't actually know that nice. Would that counted as diversification for the Port of Tacoma. I just assumed cars came in through the port.
They do.
But Hyundai's new.
Hyundai's new, yeah.
Got it, okay.
It's a new vehicle coming in.
But what you're, I think what you're referring to, Mayor, is the actual marketing
right.
scenario in terms of, if, like you say, if you only need 10 cars, you know, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And I do, does anyone know, because I'm not an expert on any of that.
And it's just, it's a thought that popped in and actually, I think I mentioned to the city manager at some point, maybe we should bring our dealerships together just to pick their brains.
I know there's a lawsuit over that. That issue that you're talking about, there is a lawsuit. Yeah.
Well, it's a,
and
you
I
know,
don't,
it's...
I don't know any of the details, but I remember reading about it because there's laws actually on the books by states relative to how you can sell a car.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
And I didn't know that until I read this article.
Nor did I.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Makes sense, though.
And that it's the destination sales tax. If they buy it in Fife, it stays in Fife. If they go somewhere else, it goes there.
There's a real impact.
Yeah, so.
Boy, that.
All right, well, thank you for divulging me for a moment.
Well, it's an important question, yeah. Commissioner McCarthy?
Yeah, just thinking about a couple of other issues that we interface on a lot. One of is the zoning process that we're going through now, the subarea planning process that we're working with you on, and we need to have further dialogue about. But the other, I think, is our relationships with the tribe. You have an individual relationship with the tribe, and of course, we do. And our relationship with Puyallup and the tribe goes back to the land claim settlement 30-plus years ago. And we're your general service government, so you're doing permitting and other types of things with them. We're generally, trying to get projects through the Corps of Engineers, and we work with the tribe on habitat, fishery issues. But I think, though, that we have some common interests in our workings with the tribe that it's important to us, for example, that you and the tribe, have things work out such that the land claim settlement is followed, consultations undertaken. It's important to you, I think, that the port and the tribe maintains a good relationship as well and works through those things. But quite frankly, I don't know how Fife is doing in terms of that, and I'm not sure that you're aware of what our interface with the tribe is now. So I think it'd be nice to have a further conversation about that, because it's important to us that the tribe, for example, pays its fair share of those things that they're obligated to under the land claim settlement in order to get the city of Fife what they need. And so that's one area that I'd like to have a conversation at some point in time.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Any other comments, observations? Any other announcements that we need to make, Eric or Derek? You keep us straight and honest, so I want to make certain you have the final comments, if there is anything.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge our senior leadership that's in the room. Many of our department directors, in addition to our public works director who presented today, wanted to be here in order to build the relationship. So I just wanted to say thank you to them and encourage everybody to say hello after we adjourn.
Eric, any other comment?
No, I just think it's very important for us to get together. These kinds of interactions are invaluable. I think that we need to do them with more jurisdictions, frankly. They take a lot of time, but we're countywide, as you know, and so we've got a lot of cities. But of course, we love Fife the most. But this is very valuable. Our transportation discussions are going to continue, as I mentioned. Our next meeting is October 20th. We meet the third Thursday, typically. Then we have a issue work sessions other than that. So we're going to continue to refine these transportation planning efforts and look forward to working with you all. We'll continue to share information as we generate it. The model that Christine showed you is designed to continue. You can plug more information into it and get more out of it. So it's not designed to be a static model. It's designed to be dynamic. And as we continue working on these transportation issues, we want to continue to work with you.
Great. Well, we definitely look forward to hearing about the $2 million too.
Yeah. I figured you
that's
probably were.
No, that's the last word.
There's a former port commissioner, Jack Fabulich, and he always, when staff would go on a sales trip, they'd come back and have a report, and he said, "But did you get the order?" Did you get the order?
Nice.
So I think we're clear about what the request is, Mayor.
Thank you.
But the timing's good. I think this has been a great session. I would hope that we could do this perhaps annually or something of that nature, because issues we just brought up and talked about, they're really crucial to our success, both of our success. So yeah. I just want to say, Commissioner.
Just one quick thing, and I don't mean to keep this thing going, but years ago there used to be what was called the Valley Cities Committee. And Fife was a part of it, Ports of Seattle, Tacoma were a part of it and stuff. And it was just a small group representing different cities and stuff like that. And that may be something we can look into, a subcommittee of what our port and the and look at the city of Tacoma, Pierce County Council, things of that nature, where we can maybe meet a little bit more instead of trying to get this together, because I know everybody's schedules are pretty tight, but just something to think about.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The time is now about 5:28, 5:29. I'd like to keep things on time.
Yep.
Unless there's further comments. Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Grab a donut for us.